Thank you, Worship. You know, I call today's meditation Crazy Prayers of the Bible. Amen. Why would you do that? Because some stuff are just plain crazy. And because I believe that there are different types of prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us on the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18, that there are different kinds of prayers. Read it with me. Praying always with all prayer. It's not one prayer. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul is telling us here that there are different prayers. He says all prayers. The word prayer here is the Greek word proseuche, which literally means worshipful prayer. An oratory, or praying earnestly. Is a prayer that uses worship and earnestly intercedes on behalf of someone. It is not supplication. Supplication is something different. And as I check all the words for prayer in the New Testament, some of these words used for prayer, one of them is delmai. And the word delmai is the type of prayer that comes in the middle voice with a tone of begging, as binding oneself to one problem and making a petition, beseeching on behalf of oneself or on behalf of others. It is making a request. Therefore, there are different types of prayer in the Bible. Number one, there is the prayer of agreement, which is found in Matthew 18:19. Number two, there is the prayer of thanksgiving, found in Philippians 4:6. Number three, there is the binding prayer, found in Matthew 16:19. Then there's the prayer of faith, found in James 5:15. Then there is, number five, the prayer in the Spirit with understanding, which is found in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. Then there are five types of crazy prayers mentioned on the Bible that I'm going to be giving to you very soon. And I don't want to concentrate on this because part of these crazy prayers has been prayed even by demons. And then there's the spiritual awakening prayer that is found in Judges 5:12. And in Ephesians 1:18 and in Ephesians 5:14. In the scriptures, we find many examples of crazy prayers or prayers with crazy requests. For example, Exodus chapter 8, verse 7 through 10 tells us the following story. Would you care to read it with me? And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Pharaoh,
accept the honor of saying that I shall receive you for your service or your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, and that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God.
What a kind of crazy prayer is this? Here come Moses and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. No, I'm not going to do that. If you don't, I'm going to fill your house with frogs. Go right ahead. All right? Moses prayed and the land of Egypt was filled with frogs. Despicable creatures. The magicians came in and did the same. The problem is that the magicians couldn't get the frogs out of the way. Neither the ones that Moses brought in, nor the ones that they brought in. Which led Pharaoh to ask Moses to entreat the Lord to take away the frogs. So what is crazy about this? The craziness is that you get some spiritual backup that cannot produce results when you most need it. That's crazy. Then the man of God comes and said, accept the honor of saying to me, when shall I go and pray for you? So that the frogs can get away from your palaces, from your houses, and from everywhere. And what his answer was? Tomorrow. Are you nuts? You've got your house full of frogs. Pray right now. Are you with me so far? So this is a crazy prayer. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this guy? If I had my house full of frogs and Moses said, when do you want me to pray for you? Pray right now. But he says, tomorrow. You know, when the people is outside the kingdom of God, they do some weird stuff. Can you imagine you go to bed and oink, 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 oink. All over the palace, on the bed, all over the place. Dude, it is crazy what you're saying. Let the man pray for you right now. That's the first crazy prayer that we find in the Bible. Well, it doesn't stop in there. We go a little bit further. And we have in Judges chapter 16, verse 6, another crazy prayer. Watch this. Judges 16:6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict. You say, what's praying there? Brother preacher, can you give me the King James Version? And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I... That is a prayer. A crazy prayer here, trying to find out what is the man of God's strength. When you go back to verse 10, you'll find the very same word used in here. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please, I pray thee, tell me how you may be bound. That doesn't say, please tell. Give me the King James Version there again, brother preacher. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now, tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And this thing, this nagging was on and on. So this is a nagging prayer, trying to find the strength of the man of God. Then we have another crazy prayer that you find made by Peter when everybody's sitting on the boat and Jesus is coming and he sees something that he perceives to be a ghost. And they start screaming, it's a ghost. He says, no, it's me. And Peter says, Lord, I pray thee, if it is you, let me go and walk in the water. So a prayer to walk in the water. And he did. So what's wrong with that prayer? Nothing is wrong. You should know the voice of your Lord. Now that you're so smart and you decide to get into the water and you start walking upon the water, keep your eyes on your Lord. Sometimes we pray for things that we don't know we're praying for, what we are praying for. Just like that man. He was very picky. No girl in the church would be nice enough for him. So one day he's fed up. He went from 20 to 30 to 40. He's now 43, I believe. And he's fed up. He goes to church and made one of those crazy prayers. Down south, it's very common when people come to church at 6:30. Instead of talking, we all go to our knees and we pray until the service starts. If you get tired of praying, you sit down and start reading your Bible. But there's no talk, no chit-chat. So this man kneeled down and he started praying. And he's shouting aloud, Lord Jesus, I'm praying today that the first person that you bring to my side, I will marry her. I'm tired of waiting. All of a sudden he feels the smell of eternity by his side. He gets excited and he pumps up even more prayer. By the time he says, in the name of Jesus, he opened his eyes and he looks. There's a beloved sister, 72 years old, and he's 43, no teeth, but she had never been married. And she looks at him and asks, what's up? He looks up to her and says, hey, Lord, I was just kidding. Crazy prayers. Sometimes you pray for things that you don't know what you're praying for. And Peter did that. Lord, if that you, I pray thee that I may come. Command me to come. Come on. And he goes. And everything is good. Man, walking upon the water. That's cool. But he's looking at Jesus. Then all of a sudden he starts feeling the breeze. And when he looks, uh-oh. He starts sinking. And he shouts, Lord, help me. Lord grabbed him by the hand. Come on, you blessed of the Lord. Why are you so fearful? Have faith. And I could go on and on today with several other types of prayers. Crazy prayers. Now, tonight I want to concentrate in one prayer. And I know that some of the stuff I'm going to say today may mess up your evening. And if it does, take on God. Can we agree on that? What kind of prayer are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the prayer for awakening of soul and spirit of a loved one. I call this the awakening prayer. Say what? I call this prayer that I want to talk to you about the awakening prayer. I never heard about such a thing, awakening prayer. The fact that you may never have heard does not mean that that prayer doesn't exist. Let's go to Judges chapter 5. verse 12. Would you care to read it with me? Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. First prayer I want to talk to you today, and I'm going to stick with this, is the prayer of awakening for those in your family that has been held captive. What? This verse here says, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. And that prayer can be what is also called prayer of understanding in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 that some of us will pray in the Spirit, but with understanding. There are times that we have family members that have been led away and captive by the devil. It doesn't matter what you say. There is already a preconceived thought. Whatever you say, they will shut you down. And when that happens, nothing better than praying the prayer of awakening. And how do you pray that? Pray in tongues. God is going to put an urge on you and you're going to start praying in tongues. The person close to you may not know what you're praying about, but the Spirit of God does. There is a story of a preacher that he was ministering in a church, and then all of a sudden, by the end of the message, he starts praying the Spirit and he starts speaking in tongues. Nobody knew what he was saying except one man. There was an Israeli present in there, and he understood every single word that the preacher said. So at the end of the service, they're walking out, he called the preacher aside and asked, do you know what you were praying? He says, I know I was praying in the Spirit, but I don't know what I was saying. He said, I understood every single word you pray in the Spirit. And he said, you are praying, awake, awake, you who sleep. And he says, it made me remember the story of Deborah. There is a prayer here. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away. The prayer of awakening is when you and I get into the spiritual realm and do a heavy duty intercession on behalf of someone that is asleep spiritually in our family. Brother Harry, can you give me a Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. For if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, right? But my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. What is he trying to say here? There is going to be time that you want to intercede on behalf of a loved one that is now spiritually dead or is sleeping, that the Spirit will take your tongue and you are going to start praying in tongues. You may not exactly know what is the meaning of the words that's been uttered, but the Spirit does. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God will pray for us because we know not how we ought to pray. And He will intercede for us with inexplicable groanings. So there are times that we have family members or dear friends that are spiritually sleeping, that needs to be awakened. You can pray with understanding. Lord, I bring my friend, I bring my brother, my sister, my wife, my husband, my children before You. Awake them up, Lord, from their sleep. Shake them up and bring them up back to You, Lord. That is praying with understanding. But it may happen that the person that you're praying for may not like when you are praying for them. That's when labasuriyandanamakas come handy. As the Holy Spirit put the words in your mouth, let it go and pray in the Spirit. Awake! Awake of your sleep. Come back to God.
Hallelujah.
And those prayers are powerful prayers. We spent the night here last night. Sister Marcia, Sister Sue, and I was on the back out there. I never spent the night here with them praying, so I said, well, let's go. And at one point, Sister Marcia got up, and then she starts walking around here, speaking in tongues, and some beautiful tongues. As Sister Marcia was speaking, there was something like a moisture on the air that filled up the whole. And it felt so good. What did she pray? I don't know. But the Spirit of God that intercedes for us, you know, with inexplicable groanings, knows what she was praying for. And you know what? We had a breakthrough last night. I want to challenge you now. Don't become the Holy Ghost. Work with the Holy Ghost. You have a husband or a wife that don't want to know about Christ? Getting in the house and turning all the radios on 95.1 may just drive them away. Try to become Sarah Hickey, Marilyn Hickey, may just cause them to be angry. So we will not nag them. We will pray with understanding, and we will pray with the Spirit. And let the Spirit of God take over and do something in their lives. You may ask, well, preacher, I don't understand why somebody needs to be prayed for awakening. I know that my beloved and my family is not where they're supposed to be, but you know, I don't understand. There are times that we have family members coming to church and they listen to the word, and while they go home and sleep, the enemy will choke that word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. What? Yep. The enemy will come during the night and choke the word, especially if they leave church and they go straight home and turn on that TV. You better believe that word will be choked, if not dead, before they get to bed.
Yeah. Amen.
What are you talking about? I don't know any network in Hollywood that is led by Bible-believing people that will choose to glorify God, that has an agenda to glorify God. It's something that are led by gays, lesbian, Satanists, and other junk out there. So they may come to church like now, hear the word, but by the time that they come home, the word is already dead because it has been choked by the enemy of our soul. Many times it will be choked before they wake up next morning. Because the enemy has the power to choke the word. Read it with me. Another parable he put forth to them. Read it with me, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept," what happened? There is going to be time that you come to church, hear the word of God, go home, flip on that television. Tares is going to be thrown in and will choke the word of God that has been sown. Then you are asleep. In need of a awakening. You know, I praise the name of God, and I don't say this with pride, rather with joy. When God set us free from TV, personally, I didn't think that I would last that long. And I think we're going on now to, 7, 8 years. If I am in an office and the constant negative news is playing CNN, I have a headache. If the national broadcast of communism it's being plain, I want to puke. If the Center for the Broadcast of Socialism, CBS, is being plain, I got sick. I can't sit down and watch this thing for 5 or 10 minutes without having a headache, a nauseating feeling. And I like that that happened, because the enemy cannot choke the word that has been planted in our hearts, in my heart. Are you with me here? It says in here, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The man is the Holy Spirit. The good seed is the word of God. The field is your mind. There's going to be time that we're going to sleep in church. That's going to be time that we're going to sleep in our spiritual life. And on those times, a little slumber is all what it takes for the enemy to throw in a bad seed or a tear that will suffocate the word of God. That will grow along with the word of God. I made a discovery this week. I know what is the cure for depression. I was going back and forth in the book of one of the book of the Bible, Proverbs, and all of a sudden I got a hit. Bam! That's the key. That's the cure for depression. I'm going to work a little bit more on that. I found the cure for depression. If you take heed of that word that is in Proverbs, you will never again spend one dime on medicine for the rest of your life. Therefore, there are times that we have difficult times in our life, and the enemy will sow a tear or a seed that will try to choke the word of God. Or there are times that we have loved ones that they are coming to church. You know, when I look today, the church is basically divided in two fields right now. They have the ones who are awake. They are sitting on the front. They are lifting up their hands. They are praising. They are worshiping God. And then there are the ones that sit somewhere else, looking at the clock, just waiting for that final prayer to be said so they can get out and turn on their cell phone or their tablet and go back in their lousy social media network rut. Folks, first prayer that we're supposed to be start training ourselves is prayer of awakening.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, preacher, you could not convince me. Elder Ellis, can you give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18? Maybe that will convince them. Ephesians 1:18. Here's the proof that we need to practice prayer of awakening. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance on the saints. It doesn't prove anything. Stick with me. Don't go away. Now let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 14. Don't go away. This is what God desires his people to know and to have. Now, therefore, he says, can we read it together now? Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We'd better to get used to praying awakening prayers on behalf of our loved ones. We better get used to pray awakening prayers because many are sitting down in church, but they're slumbering. This is why the Bible says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. The first step, the first type of prayer to pray on behalf of a backslider or a family member who is living in spiritual darkness, bounded by their own lust and desire, is to pray for their mind and the spirit to awaken to the things of God and to his word. That's why Paul said that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened so they may understand what is God's purpose for their lives. Awaken. Awaken. Sing a song to God. Arise and lead your captives free. Did you know that this awakening theme is considered a part of the Jewish custom of sounding the shofar during certain Shabbats, during certain new moons, and some feast days, especially the Day of Atonement? There's a group of Jews called Maimonides, and they used to conjecture that the call of the trumpet, the blowing of the shofar, especially on the month of Tisri, in which the great Day of Atonement occurred, was designed to signify a special call to repentance, meaning you who sleep, arise from your slumbers. Search and try yourselves. Think on your Creator. Repent. And attend to the salvation of your souls. You and I, as intercessors, are voices who stands in the gap and becomes the bridge of prayer between heaven and hell, and you and I, through awakening prayers, are like the sound of a mighty shofar piercing the darkness and splitting the veil that darkens the understanding of those family members who are still asleep. Many of us are praying for the salvation of our loved ones, and very often we are very passive. And we pray vague words such as, Lord, help them, or Lord, touch them, or Lord, bring them in, Lord, move them up. I believe that as the piercing sound of the shofar, our words must be sharpened and straight as an arrow in a bow. When we are praying this kind of generic prayer, I wonder if God isn't looking down from heaven upon us and asking, help them with what? Touch them when? Move and bring them where? How? Let our voices be heard, not only on earth, but also in heaven. Let us pray with the understanding, but also let us pray in the spirit, and let us pray for an awakening in the life of our children, in the life of our nation, in the life of our leaders. May your voice and my voice be that blazing shofar sound that will pierce darkness and will awake those whom we are praying for. May God use you as a prayer awakener. In Jesus' name.